Lima's burning the midnight oil. He's got himself a Red Bull.
First time I have gone to the Red Bull in years. I think it's like Las Vegas the last time. And I got to say, it doesn't taste right without the vodka.
I've never seen you drink a Red Bull. This is weird.
Hey, unpaid testimonial. Worked.
Sugar-free Red Bull for you.
Had a little surge. I did go healthy, Ken, of course.
You got to go sugar-free.
What's in this again? Oh, that's it. Oh, we'll just grin.
Okay, you're RFK all of a sudden?
We'll grin and bear it.
What are you doing?
What's with this red dye?
Oh, God, here we go. I remember when I worked at the Stone Plant before coffee, my manager at the Stone Plant, the foreman, made us drink black coffee.
Made you?
He threw the creamer and the sugar out into the road. It like exploded out of the road. Oh, yeah, he didn't care. He's like, you'll drink it black. All right, relax. He would get so mad. I used to go get way back in the day. Couldn't do this now because I'm not in the type of shape to drink this. I would get like the two of the rock stars, the full-bodied ones, and you'd go to the bathroom and be neon. It looked like a high vis shirt.
How's your kidney processing?
It really did. Yeah. I was like, oh boy, this is something.
I see what you guys are doing.
We used to do it. It's delicious too. I got to tell you,
Mitch has 8 clips about Giannis.
Oh,
I mean, we still are in the playoffs,
here we
right?
Go. Yeah, play it. Play the Sham Sharanya.
Sources tell me that Giannis Antetokounmpo, for the first time in his career, is open-minded about exploring whether his best fit moving forward is outside of Milwaukee. So whether he's going to remain as a Milwaukee Buck or move on, potentially, he's going to explore that, spend time exploring that, considering those options. All eyes here in Chicago are on Giannis Antetokounmpo and his future and what it means for potential contenders, teams trying to take that next step.
I can yell, audio courtesy ESPN, I can yell at the fans and say that you're giving up on them, but they've given up on themselves. If this was a tooth and nail fist fight and we weren't that good, if we weren't supposed to be so much better than the Indiana Pacers, I'd say that you folks are crazy. But they're already protecting their feelings. So I think for a lot of people, they're just accepting that, hey, this is over. They're going to lose because they're laying down in this series now. So if they're going to lose, we're going to try to find a way to make this thing better. Dan Gilbert is an owner that is obsessed with winning, which is great. Do they have the wherewithal to go after a team that is probably breaking it up, that a player doesn't want to be there anymore? What can we do? And it ain't just going to happen with Giannis. I brought up those other names too, including you-know-who. That's definitely going to be brought up. They have already moved on. So am I supposed to yell at the fans for wanting to mentally move on and emotionally move on from this? Or should I yell at the team, which got themselves down 41 at halftime yesterday? And then we're having a great big discussion on whether or not Donovan Mitchell was faking an injury, acting on an injury at halftime of a game, which, God, I hope not. What's worse? I think it's far worse to be down 41 in a pivotal game to make this a 2-2 series coming back. It's far worse to be down.
And obviously it's going to, it would probably go down as too little too late anyway, and people won't care. But I mean, tomorrow night you're at home. You've been a dominant team at home all season. You were dominant all regular season. You were a wire to wire number one seed in the East. Boston was scared. You know what? Of Donovan Mitchell and the Cavs. Mm-hmm. I talked to people in Boston all year. They cannot believe that the Pacers are up 3-1. I'm just telling you, tomorrow night, there better not be any talk after the game of not having heart, not being tough, soft, the comparisons to the Hawks in 2015. There better not be any of that tomorrow. Like, fine, lose the series, whatever. It can't be tomorrow, and it can't be the team totally giving up. That cannot be. Because there's no way to make sense of this. You could say, okay, well, they're soft. There have been soft teams. Remember, the Warriors were called soft.
Yeah.
Even after they won their championship, their fraudulent 2015 title, because of the Kyrie and Kevin Love injuries, people were still calling the Warriors soft. They lose. They were down by 41 points, scoring 39 at the half at any point in their playoff run. Come on. What the hell was that yesterday?
216-474-0092. Before I get to these phones here, how much needs to go on Kenny Atkinson?
Well, I will say this. Like, I thought Kenny Atkinson made an unbelievable coaching move, a diabolical coaching move when he went to the 3-2 zone in game three. It totally took the Bucks by surprise. And that game was won.
Pacers.
Like, the Pacers. That literally, that game was won when they decided to go to that 3-2 zone. That was it. But Rick Carlisle's a championship coach. You knew they'd have an answer. They did have an answer. They just came up, set a ball screen, like four straight possessions, and that was it. It dissected the 3-2 zone. You can put it up on a tombstone. The Cavs 3-2 zone with Mobley at the top in the middle from game three to game four, because it died. RIP. That was the end of that. But that's what happens in a playoff series. Where is your counter move? Okay, where is your adjustment to that? It can't be that, you know, Kenny Atkinson, there's only so much, like, coaching-wise. I would have liked to see more Jared Allen, but would it have made that much of a difference and again, you're down 45 at one point. Like, it's not one maneuver. It's not one thing. Now, were they not just flat out not ready to play? I don't understand how you need a coach to get you ready to play in a playoff game, mm-hmm, with your season on the line. Like, I don't understand that. Maybe you can explain that one to me.
I wish I could tell you. I can't.
We do. We look for simple things to grasp, and every season's demise in sports has a reason. Right? There's always a reason. What do we say about 2016 blowing the 3-1 lead? What do we say? Rain delay. Like, we try to make it as easy as possible. 1995.
Didn't seem to rob our momentum, though.
Or 97. Jose Mesa. Right? We just try to...
Yeah.
95, we just say strike zone. Like, we do try to simplify these things in one phrase. Well, what is it going to be with this team? Is it going to be soft?
I think it's going to be soft.
That's all it is?
I think it's going to be soft.
For some, it'll be injuries. I'm seeing... Some of the homers, it's injuries, so. injuries.
You do need that. You need some people to think that. That's fine. I mean, there has to be another side to this, and it's made it tremendously. It frustrates you, but also at the same time, it makes this tremendously difficult. It makes this so much harder emotionally. I just can't believe we're here. I really cannot believe we're here. And so anybody who's attached to them at all, they're going to be somewhere in the crosshairs for fans, somewhere there. And the head coach of the basketball team, you know, I can't sit there and give you a bunch of reasons why I think that he's messing things up. I don't think he is. I think you got to be, I don't know if it's tougher. I don't know if it's a mental block. I don't know what it is with these guys. I can't make Darius Garland go out there and put on 30 pounds muscle. I can't do it. I wish I had one reason other than, yeah, I think a lot of people call them soft. They're a slight basketball team. We've been tremendously patient. But this will be, if this goes down tomorrow night, or even if it goes down in game six, I want it to get, you know, again, if you give me a game seven, then I can fight against some of these trade things that go on there. You lose tomorrow night in some terrible fashion, it's all hands on deck. Every fan's going to have an opinion to get rid of these guys, and I'm not going to be able to fight it. 216-474-0092. I mean, the vibes can only be immaculate for so long. Because you've come up short each of these last 2 years, and now if it's going to be three, you don't give nicknames to teams that just go to the middle of the playoffs.
This just seems more inexplicable than any run that got cut short that I can remember. I mean, maybe, I guess, the LeBron losing to Boston, but the writing was on the wall that he was out.
Yeah.
That he was ready. He had mentally checked out, right? So then you can explain it later. What is the explanation here? We were a dominant team. Everybody was scared of the Cavs this year. The number one team, and a team that's going to probably be in the finals again, the Boston Celtics. They were. I'm telling you. Talk to people in Boston. They were scared of the Cavs this year. How does this happen? I can't remember. You know what? We were too young, but the drive and the fumble, those Browns teams were supposed to go to the Super Bowl, so they got cut short. But it took heroics. There are no heroics here. I know Halliburton hit a game winner. Okay, but that shouldn't have been the series. That shouldn't be the end. What is the reason here?
216-474-0092. Brandon in Parma Heights. You're next up on the fan. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, Brandon. Go right on ahead.
I've been going through my head seeing what's went wrong with the Cavs, but when are we going to admit that the Pacers are just a good team? They're faster than the Cavs right now. They're more physical than the Cavs. and they have a great coach. To me, if the Pacers get past the Cavs, I'm picking them to go to the finals.
Well, I'm not saying the Pacers. No one's saying the Pacers are garbage. I don't believe the Pacers are garbage.
Brandon,
but I mean,
I agree with you. You led the call saying, "When are we going to admit they were a good team?" I admit they're a good team. Notice what I'm not saying. I'm not saying they're a great team. I don't think they're great at all.
Does anybody really think they're better than us?
Like Halliburton, is he even a top 20 player? Yeah, is he a top 15 player in the NBA? I don't know.
I mean, to me, watching them, though, Halliburton doesn't have to be, because like, look at the role players. I mean, yesterday they were hitting three. Siakam looks like a superstar. I think that the Cavs are being out-coached. They're being out-physical. And to me, right now, the Pacers look like a better team than the Cavs. We can go back to regular season. Everybody was afraid of the Cavs. For example, I'm a medical device sales rep. My cohort in Indiana, they weren't afraid of the Cavs. He texted me when Indiana won and said they're beating the Cavs because they are on fire right now. I wouldn't say the Bucks are a soft team, and they did the same exact thing to the Bucks. I mean, the Bucks are a lot worse than we are, but I think the Pacers are a substantially better team than what people give them credit for. Look at last year. They were in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Brandon,
so people are surprised that they're dominant right now. They're faster than the Cavs.
They are better. And Brandon, first off, congratulations on all your success. I didn't know you were a medical device salesman. You do very well for yourself. I'm not willing to say, and thank you very much for the call. I'm not saying
better get that lunch order right for the hospital.
They're a really good team. They're not better than the Cavs. I think that we didn't think very much of them. I think last year, I think a lot of people were thinking that was a fluke run to the Eastern Conference Finals. They're a better team than what I think we've given them credit for. I'll go that far. I will go that far. They did not start off the season hot. They had injuries. I think a lot of people kind of forgot about the Pacers. It's easy to forget about the Pacers. It's easy. They play in Indianapolis. It's easy to forget about the Pacers. And you know, I'm sure that if they heard this, they'd be really mad at me. But you guys know it's the truth. Like the star power, like Tyrese Halliburton's a good player, but Lord Almighty, we're focused on Boston. We're focused on maybe even the Knicks. It's hard to get our bearings here on this because this is not good. Joe in Akron, hello.
Hello. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I agree with what you guys are saying. Indiana is a good team. They're not the better team. They're not the best team. They've had two games where they have shot way above their average. And that's tough to stop. It's players feed off each other. I also think Kenny Atkinson has to look at T.T.'s a very physical player. I know he's not the best player. He's up in age. But you want somebody that's going to go in there and bang bodies? That's the guy. Put him in the game. Don't have to put him in at crunch time. Put him in early. Give Jared Allen a rest. Give Evan Mobley a rest at the same time. Let TT know, hey, you got six fouls. Use them. Those guys won't be taking those little jump shots in the lane.
Somebody else told me this. This is incredible. Somebody else had told me this, Joe. Thank you very much for the call. They wanted him. They wanted Tristan Thompson to go in there and use all six fouls like right at the very beginning of the game the other night. That has been brought up before. Let me get to Chuck in Cleveland real quick. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, what's up, man? How y'all doing?
Chuck, doing well. Go ahead.
So, look, I think we're using the wrong word. You know, these guys not soft. They tough. They just not tough enough. We need some dogs, you know. We got a finesse team, similar to Golden State. So when we go against teams that play aggressively, on top of that, with the playoff rules, I mean, I think it come down to coaching, you know. Axon got to say, hey, y'all got to go in there and be some dogs like these other teams. Because when we play like dogs, we tend to destroy teams. So I just think it's something about the morale.
Yeah, I felt like we have seen that from Max Strus throughout. I think we've seen it from Donovan Mitchell. I mean, that guy left it all on the floor. Game two, do you guys remember? Like, he was basically carried off the floor in game two. And I know he only played 34 minutes, but it seemed like 44 minutes. DeAndre Hunter yesterday, I mean, okay. Like, they tried to get under his skin. It kind of worked, but he absolutely delivered, like, came right back at him, which is what fans wanted to see, right? Were you guys not all going nuts? So who else do you have? I mean, Okoro is not really mean. He can be physical, but he's not a mean guy. He seems like a nice guy. Jared Allen's considered, obviously, we know. Evan Mobley's not there. He's just not. He's not a brute physical force yet. He's been getting more physical and more physical every year as his body has developed and matured, but he's not there yet. So, but you're not, what, you're going to get rid of Evan Mobley because of that? No. I mean, he's a huge fixture on your team.